stop spinning. I have to do an introduction. For anyone listening to this on the podcast, Simon is on a spinny chair like a five-year-old child.
And I'm loving it.
Right.
I'm in the judges' box at Bicton Arena.
Let me do my fucking intro. Such a child. Welcome to Shut Up and Ride, sponsored by Charles Owen. There you go. I said it like an actual adult. I'm Jenny Rudel, and this is Simon Grieve in a judge's box at Bicton.
Having a lovely time on my swivel chair.
You are having a lovely time.
My Charles Owen hats. They're so good, you know. Like, we're supposed to say that, but I actually can say that. It's like the ones that I had before didn't have these liners that they've got, and they're so good. Like, you can just whip a liner out, chuck it in the wash. So I don't have like hat hair like I used to, which is amazing.
Can I just stop you right now? If you are going to spin sideways for the entirety of this podcast, I will be sick.
I'll stay still, sorry.
Are you one of those children, if they sat on a spinny chair when they were a kid, they just got very overexcited?
Yeah, literally couldn't stop. Well, can't stop. That's my problem.
Good, right. This is okay. Stop spinning on the chair.
Sorry. Anyway, how are you? How are you?
All right. Yes, back to Charles Owen. You wore the hats before we got sponsored. Am I right? I'm right in that.
Yeah. I pretty much always worn Charles Owen because I have got a really weird shaped head. I'm like a flatfish. I'm really narrow, but I'm really long. So to get a hat to fit me is really difficult. And either they fit at all or they're really wide on the side. And Charles Owen, they fit me really well. And like I said, the liners make all the difference. They're brilliant. They're really brilliant.
Because your hair, I mean, it's quite bouffant, I would like to say. It's fluffy.
It's fairly fluffy at the moment. But it goes in stages. But it is all there still, which is good.
I know, you've got a good head of hair for being 40-something.
42.
I'm 44 now.
Oh, no, sorry, I'm swiveling again.
Stop fucking swiveling.
Hang on. So, come on, Maryland, you've been there. How was it?
I want to talk more about the fact that you're in the judges' box at Bicton, because that's where you can find Wi-Fi. Okay, yeah. We'll do Maryland. And then we'll do Bicton. Yes, so very exciting. By the way, it's very odd. So I have been working for Le Mieux, brilliant company, loads of stuff, even wearing one of their hoodies now. First of all, we say Le Mieux. Over here, they say Le Mieux, which really threw me. And we say Maryland.
Excuse me. Sorry.
All right. Fucking hell. Over here, they say Maryland. And there's Maryland. Me going, Maryland. Yeah, Maryland.
Maryland and Le Mieux.
Le Mieux, yeah.
Le Mieux. Le Mieux, I don't know what that sounds, actually. Le Mieux. Yeah, but it's Le Mieux.
It is Le Mieux. So anyway, I got a message from a lovely lady literally a few days before Maryland came about. I have to share this with people. I know she won't mind me saying it now. I got a message saying, hi, Jenny. Connie, who's wonderful, Connie, who is one of the organisers of Maryland, passed on your details. Would you be able to quarterback our socials at MD?
Quarterback your socials? What the hell does that mean?
Exactly. I had no idea. I also didn't know what MD meant, because in my head, Maryland would be ML. So very quickly was like, Google who she was. She's horsey. Okay, she must mean Maryland. Rang my husband. You work with Americans. What the fuck does quarterbacking one's socials mean? I was like, I have no idea. And I'm a producer and a presenter, so it could have meant like, which one do they want? So very quickly worked out that he was like, the quarterback is like the person who creates things in the team. So I was like, aha, producer. So then replied, and you, anyone who listens to the podcast about me will know that I just say yes to stuff and work it out later. So very quickly said yes, because I really wanted to go and cover a 5-star again and a new 5-star. How exciting is that? Get back to some eventing because I've been doing so much show jumping. And have to say, it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant.
So quarterbacking is producing?
Yes, I think. Like making something. Yes.
Okay.
Because, yes. was very entertaining conversation to be had between a stupid British person and an American. But yes, so went to Maryland. It is, it was unbelievably fucking cold. I looked at the weather forecast and it said 20 degrees, but it was like an icy 20 degrees. So there's me, Bubby Upson. She's packed shorts. I've packed t-shirts. Thank holy Christ I was working for a clothing brand, because on the first day I was just like, I'm so sorry, you're going to have to give me clothes. Me and my camera guy were so cold. But yes, I don't know if anyone knows this. I have an inappropriate crush on two men in the eventing world. One, I think you can guess who one is.
Tim Price,
yes. I do love him dearly. Although... He did say at the end of Maryland, I'll say that joke in a minute, but he was like, you're so bloody mean to me. I'm surprised I talk to you. I think I do that thing, you know, when you love someone, you're mean to them in the hopes they give you attention.
Yeah.
And then the other person, male.
It's Ben Atkinson.
No.
Simon Grieve.
Simon, obviously you, is Ian Stark.
Oh, no, he's so cool, isn't he? He's such a good God. Guy. He's so good.
Any sort of millennials or Gen Zs or whatever we're on now listening to this, who might not know who Ian Stark is, although I think I'm a millennial. No idea.
Everyone knows who Ian Stark is. Come on.
Google Murphy himself bouncing a sunken road was like the hedges. Do you remember? It was like a one stride and he bounced it.
Stockholm in 1990. And he
it's in your knowledge boundary, 1989 to 1996 or whatever it is.
And he bounced a very long one stride pair of hedges. With a massive drop on the landing side. And it's honestly, like, if you can see the footage of it, it's incredible. And he also did at badminton. There's a fence called the Centre Walk, which is two great big entry type fences with four good strides in between, and he went on two down there. Unreal. And Ian was just so brave, and he kind of followed that through then to, as a course designer, he was so brave as a course designer, you know, he put things out there and scared the living daylights everybody, but then the horses read it really well, which is the sign of a really good course designer in my mind. And gosh, he's just brilliant, and he's such a great guy as well, and always up for a challenge, and yeah, he's cool, and he's a big part of the British Adventure Support Trust now as well, and he's really pushing that, which is great for sport as well. He's brilliant for eventing, he's brilliant for equestrianism in general.
Well, can you believe he's 70?
I know, unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, this is his last ever course designing. He's giving it all up. And I saw him walking and I was like, Scotty, and I never assume anyone knows who I am. And I was like, do you remember me? Because we'd done a few things together, but we also sat on a debating thing for Princess Anne for the World Horse Welfare. And I was so nervous.
How random is that? You know,
and I was sat next to him, the first time I've properly met him. So not only have I got to stand up in front of the fucking Princess Anne, who is brilliant, by the way, she was amazing on the stage, did an amazing speech, and talk. To this big audience. Pippa Funnel was in the audience. I was also then for the first time meeting my absolute hero. I had Carl Hester, Ian Stark and John Whittaker on my walls growing up. I was sweating and I turned around and was like, hi, I'm really nervous. And he went, I've had to wee like five times and my palms are sweating. I was like, thank God. So yeah, and he turned around and he was like, of course I remember you, Jenny, and gave me a big hug. And I was like, I love you so much.
He's a good guy, very good guy. Him and Ginny Lang, they were like...
Yes, with Wilton Houdini. That's who I had on my wall as well. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Such a special horse. One badminton in 1993.
So that year, you know, you guys ride between the warm-up and the house to go to stuff. And I saw Ian riding Murphy himself. So I ran over. I've told this story to him. It's very embarrassing. I don't care. I have absolutely no shame. And I ran over to him and I said... When I was 14, this is not as an adult. And I went, Ian, can I have your autograph? And I had this notepad that was like a shape of a horse and all different coloured pages. And I ran over and he was so lovely. He was like, no, not at all. And when I got to him, Murphy himself sneezed on my autograph book and like slobbered on it. And I was like, oh, I don't need your autograph now. I've got Murphy's, and ran off.
I can quite believe that. I can imagine.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. I love that horse so much. So anyway, his course was like... badminton on Bramham track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. And I know that, like, he had these, like, weird owl holes that were shaped like dragons they had to jump through. I don't know if anyone's seen the footage. If not, go and look. It's brilliant. But when we got there the next morning after having, like, the morning of the course, it was clear he'd chickened out a bit and gone and shaved it and made it a bit clearer for the horse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And apparently he's done that a few times before. And the course builder, Troy, said that he always, when he sneaks out at night and changes the fences, because you've got to ask permission. He's like, he even said at the press conference, he's like, I don't have to ask permission. What are they going to do? Fire me? I'm retiring tomorrow. So apparently he takes a bag to hide the evidence because he chickens out. But yes, he got a bit of shit on the final day from a few people because only eight went clear. But I think, I mean, you know,
only eight completed, didn't they?
Completed out of 23 starters. So if you think, what is it, 80 odd start at badminton, I actually think that's a pretty good clear rate. I don't know. I think
it's so difficult though, because you can't really compare, like, you know, badminton and bowling, they normally have around 80 starters. So,
yeah.
And also, like, the standard, especially at badminton, the standard is so high because everyone's aiming for selection for whatever, whether it be the Olympics or Europeans or Worlds, whatever they're doing. So you've got the best in the world there. So they're going to make it look easier.
Tim, my other hero who was there, I am not joking, he made it just look so easy. Like, yeah. It was incredible. I mean, yeah. You're looking like, I know on one hand you love him, but a little bit of you wants to be him.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I loved him. He's so cool. I saw a video clip of him. I love Falco as well. Such a lovely horse.
Mm.
I saw a video of him going through the Sunken Road at Maryland. Stunning. Stunning. I mean, he just sits in this perfect, beautiful balance and the horse is so athletic and, oh, fabulous. But I do remember seeing that I was riding at Poe when he won it in 2022, was it?
21, I think, on Falco, yeah.
On that horse. And I watched his final show jumping around. Oh, it's just beautiful, beautiful.
I posted that video on my socials. And one of our followers on here, Andrew, I have to give him a shout out because he is always sharing how much he loves the pod. So thank you, Andrew. He did the best reply. He was like, Jenny, that horse definitely just said to Tim, hold my beer, I've got this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just perch in motion.
But then at the show jumping day, it was Oliver, David Dole.
Sorry, we just want to go back to the cross country bit here. David Dole, 24 seconds inside the time.
The man, I said it before he went out. People were like, oh, who's your money on? No, that's Australian. I can't do an American accent. And I was like, if you just put a bet on who's going to go inside the time, put it on David Dole.
I mean, way inside. And he makes it look so easy and he's so confident. Good guy.
Really, and that just shows as well, I don't think David will mind me saying this, he is not the smallest of chaps. Like, in stature, he's bigger than all of those guys. He's got a big frame. He's a tall guy.
I mean, I tower over him, but, you know.
Yeah. Bollocks. sorry. Something in my throat. One of the... yeah, and he rides so light.
Well, the other thing with it is he has such belief in that horse.
Yeah.
Like, they're such a good partnership. Incredible.
Unbelievable. But in the show jumping, he went in and had a rail and they were chatting afterwards and everyone was hugging. I was hugging Oliver. I got to go on Oliver's kiss and cry. It was very exciting. So David and Tim were hugging. And Tim just gave him a pat on the back. He was like, dude, you're young. You've got plenty of time to win a 5-star. And I turned around. Yes, of course you have. You've still got all your hair.
Cheeky.
I know. So Tim came over and smacked me. Because, yes, Tim looks very different without his hat on.
I do really. He says that you're young and you've got ages to win a 5-star. But, like, David really deserves to win one. He has been so close so many times.
So consistent.
Now. And super consistent, always up there. I just really hope he manages it at some point in the not too distant future, because he really deserves it. And that horse really deserves it as well, I'd say.
He's a great horse. One of the best, actually. If you look at the record of how consistent it's been and how fast it's been.
Yeah.
But yes, anyone wants to know how consistent and fast over time, probably go and listen to Equa Ratings and listen to Nicole, because they will have the exact answers.
Oh, my God. Absolutely, won't they, Jess?
Yeah, well, if you want to know before 1996 how good and consistent Simon's your man, but...
Yeah, no, I'm there with bells on.
So yes, anyway, Maryland was very good, and I very much enjoyed working for a clothing company, got to be a bit inventive. Yes, but very strange running into lots of people that I knew, but in this side of the pond, like Harry Mead, and yeah, it was nuts.
And was it kind of, so from watching, I did watch loads of it, but I watched a bit of it, it didn't look like there was a huge crowd there. Was it a massively different atmosphere to, say, a badminton or a Burley, you know, one of the British five stars?
There was a lot of people, actually. There was. Mm. Do you know the thing that people watch the most? Corgi racing.
Really?
Yes. So I don't think I've ever seen more than one or two corgis in the UK. I'm not going to lie. There's a reason people don't own many corgis, because they're utter shits. They're stubborn and they're badly behaved and could be quite vicious. Apparently in Maryland, or in this part of the world as well, we see loads of them in Canada, hundreds of them, cannot fart for corgis. Like, and they were corgi racing. They stand at one end, let them go, and another owner calls them. I'm not joking. Like, you get the odd one that's just like lasers in and goes for it. And then the others try and take it out. Like, they're biting each other, like attacking each other.
So they're super competitive.
Yes. It's very funny. But yes, lots of crowds. And what they do is they set up lots of little mini tents, and then they reverse their trucks in and have picnics, like at a point to point.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So that was really cool, because they don't have the kind of depth of crowds. They did that. So a bit like mini versions of the lake at badminton, but all over the course. When are you coming?
Oh, God. I'd love to, but I don't have horses to at the moment.
Well, maybe the Shut Up and Ride podcast is going to be so huge that we will be able to sponsor you to shut up and ride in a different country.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that would be good, wouldn't it?
That would be amazing. So anyway, that was me. I have been travelling, had to buy Lemur ponies because my children sobbed every day I was away. So the mum guilt was real. So bought tiny Lemur ponies. And yeah, now back. And as you can see, very tired. But yes, how is life in the world of Siamese in a judge's box at Bicton, but not judging?
Yes, I'm at Bicton because this is my last event of the season. I'm here doing the two-star with Miracle, my little grey horse.
How old is that one?
He is six.
I was going to say, I feel like he's quite the babby.
Yeah, he's only a baby, but he's really cool. He's really good fun. And this is his first time doing a two-star, so it's just a little bit of a fact-finding mission, see how it goes. And so far, he's been very good, so I'll let you know how it goes. But yeah, so that's why I'm at Bicton. I was here a couple of weeks ago filming something, which is really cool. Cobbs Can, Go Arena Eventing. Which was really fun to film, actually. We had some really, really good girls and really good cobs, and it was really cool, actually. And you would have enjoyed it, Jenny. It's a shame you weren't here. But then if you were here, then I wouldn't have been presenting it. So
this is true. I do like a cob. I'm a fan of a cob. I used to get a lot of work because cobs can be... People are like, oh, buy a cob, they're really sensible. No, some of them are utter bollocks. And my jobs used to be retraining horses no one wanted to ride. So cobs made me a lot of money in the past.
Yeah. And the thing with cobs is, like... the ones that we had here, they all jump. Like, they're all proper neat and clever, and they really enjoy it. So I really enjoyed that. It's really fun. And we stayed down here as well, which is great. And I've been out competing a fair bit. The horses are all going really well. So yeah, it's all good. I'm really missing Ben.
I know. It's because he's off schmoozing. Sorry, we should have explained. Do you think people tune into this to listen to Ben?
100%. We are definitely the hang-ons.
We are, aren't we? We're the glory supporters. We're not worthy, Ben. Yes, sorry.
We're Ben's cheerleaders.
We love you, Ben. We do. Yes. So he has been parading himself around America, taking his top off in other parts of the world, and was flying today. And however much I love him, he is genuinely the most useless human on earth at replying to his messages. So yes, he's just too busy. He's too busy, but he is back next week. We're going to record another one next week. So he was back next week. But yes, we were like, we've got too much to say. We need to go on without you. We need the show. The podcast must go on.
The show must go on. Exactly.
Right. So Bicton, I have lost track of what horses you've got doing what, because you've got a couple of greys. So that's why I think, because Cliff's your grey.
Cliff's my grey. Cliff's only five. So he's very nice. Cliff is 5 year old, produced by Caroline Barnes. And I've got him now, and we've done three events, and he's won all three of them. Double clear on all three. So he's
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
He was pretty cool. He's pretty.
How
cool.
Does that work? This is always something I want to know, if you don't mind asking. How you're looking really worried now? Like when you're worried that I'm going to ask something inappropriate, you get this real frown line between your eyes.
Inappropriate is fine. Inappropriate is fine. I don't mind that.
How big is your dick? No.
I love questions like that. Massive. Next question.
Anyway, when you win something, how does it work with an owner? So say, for example, like you winning a 90 or a 100 to if you win badminton. Like what's the story? Because everyone's like, oh, they've won so much money, but you don't own the horse. And my camera guy, who is not equestrian, actually asked loads of questions like that. And I kind of pretended I had the answers and was actually like, no, I don't know. Because I think it might, like, how does it work?
Such a good question. I don't really know. I kind of leave that to my accountant and the owners.
Oh, isn't really?
That yeah.
That is awful.
I think it's 50-50.
Okay. Even if it's something like badminton, like what do you win at badminton?
Well, mate,
it's
quite I've a lot never of money. Won that. So, like, I've never won anything as big
still
as that.
Still time, so. Simi. Still time. Look at Mark well, Todd. He came back in his 50s and won it.
This is true. You never know. You never know. So I need to be prepared.
Just in case.
Yeah, exactly. Jenny's like, you need to know exactly what you're going to do with the prize money. When do you get it?
Well, obviously, I want to share for being your biggest cheerleader. I'm guessing at the lower levels, it's probably not very much to worry about. But if you're winning that amount...
Then I said that. Cliff won a 90 the other day, a small Cliff, and 150 quid.
That's better than a kick in the tits.
Well, that's a lot more money than I've ever won in a B100.
But then you win at show jumping, you win loads more, don't you?
Yeah, like when I was eighth in the speed derby. And I think I won nearly £1,000 for being eighth in that, which is great. But then I'm saying that it's quite expensive to enter. Sorry,
But if you think if you won 100 on Cliff in a 150, I bet that doesn't even cover your entries.
No. Well, yeah, no, it covers the entry, but it wouldn't cover you, the entry and getting there, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, no, it wouldn't cover everything.
So then, if you didn't teach, would you make any money?
No, I don't think so. No, I try not to sit down and work it out too much, but I think that the yard kind of runs itself.
Yeah.
And the teaching that I do is more my wage.
Yeah. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing the top show jumpery guys who seem to have bucket loads of cash.
Yeah, but they're winning a lot of prize money, aren't they?
And also selling horses.
They're obviously very professional and have an actual plan of how much money they do get for prize money.
But also, I think their owners tend to be slightly different where they've come from because it is more like a business. They sell horses much more often than an eventer. And those horses go for astronomically more money. And same as dressage. Like the dressage horses, you sell one of those and you're set up for life.
Mm.
That's what you
dressage.
Need.
Sorry, just changing the subject a little bit. I was reading something earlier about there's talk of introducing snaffle bridles for Grand Prix dressage.
Yes, I think you can. Think there's talk of it. I think you can.
Have they changed the rules now? Because you couldn't.
Oh, you Google. Couldn't. We're an equestrian podcast. We're meant to be up on our...
I'm pretty sure it's just double bridles at the moment. But this is a new thing. Like the Swedish and the Dutch Equestrian Federation have asked whether it could be a thing.
Here we go. As previously stated, your horse can stay in the snaffle and bridle and compete in the national tests up to Grand Prix. I don't know if they can do it FEI. That might be the difference.
Right, okay. Yeah, no, this was aimed at the FEI.
I think national dressage, you can.
And the FBI was saying it's not, it's a technical issue or sport issue, not a horse welfare issue. So therefore they weren't going to change it.
Well, I think they need to. And I think I loved Ben's idea about you actually get better marks for the less amount of shit you've got in your horse's mouth.
I think the double bridle is... See, I'm not very okay with the whole dressage thing. You'd know more than me, but like the double bridle is more of a traditional thing, isn't it? Like, because that's
but
what
then, we've read research to say that with the double bridal, you actually, and certain types of nosebands and stuff, they are doing research, which actually says that actually elevates pressure on the horse's mouth because you're working on a bigger surface area and all of these. So before the next podcast, I will do some research and get my facts right. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think, yes, maybe that's what we need. Let's try and find someone from the FEI who can tell us all their rules and if anything's actually going to change.
I was talking to a couple of the FEI stewards here, actually, because they've also introduced a new little tool to work at, to make sure that people haven't got their nosebands too tight. Goes down the front of the down the front of the noseband, and if they can't get it through, they can't get it through easily, then it's too tight. I think that's great.
Do you know what I think FEI stewards should wear?
Yeah, go on.
Like the police wear, those little cameras they wear on their chest. That would make people behave in the warm up. No, I think it could make people behave in the warm ups and things.
Yeah. I suppose that's true. That is true.
And I think riders would be a bit nicer to them. Because I spoke to some at Maryland and they were like, yeah, the shit we get off riders sometimes might make people a bit nicer.
But why? Like, why are they getting shit? I don't.
Well, I suppose if they're being told to wait or do something or get checked or, yeah. But there's also a lot of money at stake, especially in show jumping, and people are stressed, but the welfare of the horse has still got to come first.
Yeah, definitely.
So when I was at Maryland, Bubby Upton said she would come on our podcast.
Oh, great. That'd be
and
really
her
good.
Story is incredible. Like the fact she couldn't even walk a year ago. My God, mm-hmm. She showed me the scars on her back. Mm-hmm. Like, unbelievable. And then Tim Price has said he will come on the podcast.
I know, I'd love to have Tim on because he's great.
I'm just going to be so gushing. I'm either going to be really mean to him
We are actually probably the two worst people to be interviewing Tim.
I know. We'd just be like, I love you, Tim. I love you, Tim. Yeah. No, I love him more.
Tim, you're so amazing. Okay, well, actually, I'm not.
He is so amazing.
Right.
Before we waffle on for too much longer, I have got a question for you while I'm finding the questions that we've got loads of questions from people on Instagram, but I, while I'm finding them, want to know what's annoyed you this week.
The thing that kind of annoyed me a bit is, so I don't know what anybody knows, but there's this kind of trend that's been going around for quite a while, which is when you're standing with your horse, it's not liberty training, but it's kind of liberty type thing. You're standing with your horse is loose, and then these people
Before you carry on, are you about to slag off Liberty? Because you're in a safe space because Ben's not on the podcast.
No, this is not Liberty training. This is nothing to do with Liberty training. I did think I'd quite like to ask Ben about it, so we'll have to ask him about it another time. But so, like, they're standing with their horse, and then they just suddenly just run off.
What?
They just suddenly run off, and then the horse normally chases after, gallops after them or whatever. And it's all, haha, that's really great. And I've watched, and it makes me feel really uncomfortable because I know what potentially could happen in that situation. And then the other day I saw a video of somebody doing it and then the horse kicks her in the head and then it cuts out. So I don't know whether she was okay or not, but, and then lots of the comments on it were, oh my God, what a horrible horse. Isn't that horse evil? And I'm just like, no, that's such a bad thing to be doing. So that kind of annoyed me.
Wow. I feel a little bit like if you're running away from your horse like that and it kicks you in the head, is it not natural selection?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah. it's just a bit of a silly thing to be doing.
I genuinely believe horses are cleverer than most people.
Sorry, I've just got a spider making a web on my phone. It's like going, ooh. Mate, wow. You don't want to do that. Honestly, you don't want to do that. You want to put it there. There we go. That's better.
So, yeah, that's a fucking stupid thing to do. Anyone who wants their horse to chase them, just don't. Just go over and do the BAM method with Ben.
Exactly. Like, talk to a professional about it because, like, obviously Ben knows what he's doing.
Yes.
I got Snapchat this morning from my friend Craig.
Can I just say you're a 42-year-old man? What the hell are you doing on Snapchat? I know.
Because I'm really cooling down with the kids. Anyway, I got a Snapchat from my friend Craig this morning, and it was a little video. He'd literally just been bucked off, and his horse was galloping around a ploughed field. And he was like, "Come back, come back!"
Horses are such arseholes, aren't they? Why do we work with them? I never forget.
We must get Craig on, actually. Craig was Supreme Champion at Horse of the Year show and Supreme Champion at the Royal International as well.
Oh, well done, Craig. We must. Brilliant. That's very Sorry? Cool. He's a showing rider.
Yeah.
That would not happen to
them. Yeah, showing and working hunters.
That's very cool. We should get him and Louise Bell's another one we want to get on.
Yes. Yeah, Although, yeah, yeah. Get both on.
You think we swear, Jesus, Lou. Talking of being
there
shown,
is no hope.
Shown funny videos, I had to work with Laura Kraut. You can imagine how that went. Just spent the whole time staring at her and trying to touch her. And obviously she is going out with Nick Skelton. Can you say going out when someone's in their 50s? That sounds weird. Dating?
I mean, you can, but they've been, partner. They've been going out quite a while now, haven't they? So they're probably more partnered.
Partnered. Anyway, he has this man cave, which is really cool. And all the rugs and stuff he's won, he's turned into like sofa covers and like you're like sitting on rugs. Anyway, so I went there to film and it was during COVID. So we were trying to keep our distance. And me and Laura had managed to keep like at least a meter apart this whole time and we're being really sensible. And I was sat on one sofa and she was sat on the other and we were doing this interview. And Nick comes in, not joking, just past all the cameras and sits right next to me, like shoulders touching. He's like, Jenny, I've got to show you a video. And I'm there going, no one has been this close to me in like a year because of COVID. And now suddenly Nick Skelton, the Olympic gold medalist, is shoulder rubbing with me. I'm like, wow, I'm not really going to complain, am I? I will take COVID. I'll happily have COVID to watch a video on Nick Skelton's phone. Anyway, he showed me this video of they're bringing some youngsters in and some foals in with his, I think it was his nephew. And the nephew goes, you know, when you're getting a foal, you just put the rope around the neck and you guide them in.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were trying to get this on a foal and he gets it on, but it's really muddy. So he just slips over and the videos of just this foal dragging this guy across the field. It's so fucking funny. But yes, that was my Nick Skelton too close story. Anyway, I can't remember where we're going.
You were going to say what has annoyed you this week.
Oh, yes. One thing's annoyed me, but I can't really share it. And it's to do with a horse and really bad tapeworm. But I feel like if I share that, then I might get someone in trouble. So
yeah, well, we don't want to get anyone in trouble.
But yeah, it was bloody awful. Never seen tapeworm like it. I actually rang you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
In fact, you sent me a photograph, which was not very nice.
Yes, tapeworm hanging out of a horse's ass. I was not happy.
Anyway, so that aside, what else has annoyed you?
I've done a lot of travelling, Simon. I am unsure of the etiquette on an aeroplane. First of all, are you allowed to put your seat back?
Whatever.
Yeah. Like, sorry. No one else was doing it. I had to get up at like 4 a.m. to fly and I was really tired. So I wanted to put my seat back, but no one else seemed to be doing it. I had 2 flights, so they were like 4 hours. And then when I did put it back, there was like an almighty sigh and a touch.
Yeah, that's a bit annoying.
So but, I mean, know.
They're designed to go back. So therefore, you would say that you should be able to use them.
So you can't, like, yeah. And then, I'm sorry. This is a plea to the world, to anyone listening. If you're going on a flight, wear fucking deodorant.
Oh, really? Oh, no, that's my not God. That good, is it?
The guy I sat next to, honestly, he not only was he taking up my armrest, he was taking up half of my seat as well.
Okay, so he was a big boy.
He was not small and was not wearing anything that could hide or mask the stench that was coming. Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. To the point...
Jenny's all about the deodorant this week.
Oh, my God. To the point that for my next flight, I went to the lady and I was like, hi, I've just had the flight from hell. I'm really tired. Is there any way you could sit me in a seat that doesn't have anyone next to it? And she felt so sorry for me. She was like, absolutely. So she moved me seats. So I had a spare seat next to me for my next flight, which I thought was very nice.
That's very nice.
Did a bit of charming. But yes, I just don't understand how people can't smell themselves.
Well, I do all the time. I'm always stressing about it. I don't like being smelly.
I tell you.
Yeah, no. And to be fair, I think most of my friends would tell me. But I am very aware of it.
Yes, I hope anyone... Well, I don't want people randomly coming up to me and smelling my armpits, but if you get a whiff of me and it's not pleasant, feel free to tell me. Or just subtly throw some deodorant in my direction. So yes, that has an inconsiderate travellers has annoyed me. Is that bad?
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Well, it's just really mean, isn't it? It's like, oh. Anyway, right. So we have had a lot. Oh, where have they gone? A lot of questions. I literally, can I just say, we got more questions than when I did this asking Ben.
Oh, there you go. Goodness.
Yeah. I mean, there is so many. And I'm really bad at pronouncing names. So if I get anyone's... someone from your Cobbs Can people.
So are we going to do quick fire here?
Okay, as quick as we can do.
Okay, go on then. Go for it.
Aventing Diaz, what's your karaoke song?
Your song by Elton John.
Mine's Don't Go Breaking My Heart by Elton John. I need it to be a duet, though. We could do it together.
Well, yeah, we could do that together, couldn't we? That'd be good fun.
Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
And I like doing Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. The club and the best place to find the lovers of the bar is where I go. That one.
You can actually sing, though.
Kind of. I was a choir boy at school, but I haven't had any form of singing or training since then, so.
Give us a bit of your song.
I'm not doing it right now. I can't just do it on demand. I have to prepare.
Why not?
We can do it at the pub pod.
Yes, pub pod. Karaoke at the pub pod.
I think that sounds like a really good idea.
Oh my God, that'd be brilliant. Can you comment on Roz Kanter getting penalties at the Olympics when there's photos?
I thought it was really, really unfortunate. And I have spoken to Roz about it in general. And she said that it was very unfortunate, but then the rules. And also they couldn't, what's the word? They could query it, but they could only query the process of how it was done. They can't actually get the judging to be changed, which I found quite interesting.
That was from Imi Reynolds. Me and My Crazy Ponies. When did you know you wanted to be a 5-star eventer? I feel like she should go back and listen to the Simon pod in episode 2.
Like right from the beginning. Right, I was really young. 7 or 8 years old.
Right, I like this. Talbus 465. Clearly an avid pod listener, because her question is right up my street. What's your most embarrassing equestrian fuck-up?
Oh, God.
Can I tell you mine while you're thinking of yours?
Yeah, go on then. Go on.
Okay, it's a bit long-winded. I apologise. So when I was working in Ireland, we used to sell horses in Gore's Bridge. We would produce 3-4-year-olds. And when they were about 4, depending on how good they were, we would then take them up to Gore's Bridge to sell them. And I had this gorgeous pony called Minnie, and she was white and orange. You know that kind of skew board where they're like bright white, almost with pink skin underneath and bright orange. And she was probably a bit bigger than 14 too, but I gave the measuring judge to keep her in ponies a bottle of wine. And he was like, yep, she's definitely 14 too. So that's how it works in Ireland. And anyway, took her to Gore's Bridge. And it was the first time I was going. I had two horses to go up, Malteser and Minnie. And I don't know if anyone's sold in Gore's Bridge or sold horses in Ireland, but it's quite a learning curve. So anyway, I was up till 4 in the morning washing them, and washing horses in Ireland, there was no hot water or anything like that. It was bloody freezing. So anyway, took her up in, put her in her best rug and bright red rug, and got to it, pulled Malteser up. And when you get there, you pull them up and you throw them in the stables you've been allotted. But a lot of people don't want the horses to, if they like the look of the horses, they want to try and get it before you've even got into the ring. It's not allowed to happen, but it happens. So you get a lot of people coming over to see what you're pulling off the lorry, because they'll go, I'd give you 10 grand for it now. And you're like, I'm going to wait and see what happens in the ring. So anyway, all these Irish guys had heard that this girl was now running Curraghclaw down in Wexford. So they obviously want to see what the girl's brought, the English girl who's in Curraghclaw has brought. So anyway, I pull Minnie off, and she was stunning. And this thing was jumping meter 40s. Like, she was unbelievable. I think she was about 6. And they were like, get the rug off her. Let's have a look. Anyway, I pull the rug off, and Minnie has sweated whilst in said lorry in her brand new red rug. And Minnie is no longer skewbald. She is bright pink. Bright, fucking pink, in front of the hardiest Irishmen you have ever seen, who are now on the floor laughing their heads off at this stupid English girl who has brought a bright pink pony to Gore's Bridge.
Just dripping in sweat.
Oh my God. They were like, we tell you, you're going to sell a pink pony at the Seals, Jenny. I tell you, we've never had a pink pony at Gore's Bridge before. I tell you. Laughing their fucking heads off. I'm like, get that pony in a bloody box and start scrubbing. Never came off. Pony did not enter the ring. Pony went home and was sold privately because I was too embarrassed to ever do it again.
Oh, no. Disaster.
Oh, my God. It was so embarrassing. Like, they weren't just laughing. It was like a guttural guffaw that, yeah, it was the worst thing. It was so embarrassing. She was so pink, I cannot tell you.
Bless her.
I know. Oh, she was
poor
so
Jenny pink. As well. Poor Jenny.
And actually, I didn't want to sell her through Gorsbridge because she was too sweet and nice. So I was actually quite pleased that we got to sell her to a nice home privately. What is your most embarrassing equestrian fuck-up?
Oh, I don't know. I've had quite a lot of embarrassing fuck-ups along the way, mainly falling off, falling in water jumps, that kind of stuff. Falling in the same water jump twice in 2 weeks, that was not ideal. Aston the walls, I managed to fall in the same water jump twice. I think I've told the story of when I was doing a dressage test and the horse left the arena. She kind yes. of she launched out the arena and then launched across two or three other arenas. And then in the horse and now in the following week, they wrote on the thing saying, oh, Piggy March won her section despite Simon Grieve and Mini Me galloping to their arena. That was quite embarrassing. That's still my favourite story.
That's just a brilliant story.
Just quite like, a bit mean, you know?
Right. Ultimate yard hacks for winter. Anything to make life easier on cope for frosty mornings?
Sorry. Sorry, we've got some visitors.
Hi. Welcome to the podcast.
How many chairs you have?
I know, I've been swivelling on sore chair. It's turning Jenny a little bit dizzy.
Proof that Simon is actually in a judge's box.
It's so funny.
It's a little bit awkward.
Just a bit random, really, because like I came up to use the judge's box, and there are cobwebs over the keyhole to get in.
So no one's been in there for years.
Clearly, no one's been in here for months and months, and I happened to be in here for half an hour, and someone came in.
That was very weird. So anyway,
they're probably thinking, "What the hell is he doing?"
Yeah, with his fabulous hair and his swivelly chair. Yes, SG.
Oh, I like that.
Fabulous hair and a swivelly chair. That's how Simon rolls. I just say we're not even drunk.
No, it's not terrible.
Yes, ultimate yard hack for SG native performance ponies. Listen to Shut Up and Ride podcast while you muck it out and make the time go quicker.
Yeah, absolutely.
My ultimate yard hack for winter is
getting off on the muck heap when you've got frozen feet.
Oh, yes, that's a really good idea. Oh, I hate that. That's the worst, isn't it?
Oh, frozen feet, it's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah, there's nothing worse than frozen feet when you're and it's like when you're doing the walk work, like, and it's freezing cold and you can't trot, you can't do more because, you know, so that's not the right thing to be doing, but you're really, really cold.
From a horse welfare point of view, giving them warm water does encourage them to drink in the winter. People think they don't need as much water, but they almost need more. And also, don't over-rug your horses. Come on, people. It's one of the things that annoys me the most in the world is over-rugging.
Yeah, yeah. Rashes.
Oh, just does my head in. They're horses.
I just can't think of anything worse than being in like a bed that you're far too hot in and you can't take a layer off.
Yeah.
And that must be how it must feel for the horses.
I know. I just think people, they're not humans. We anthropomorphize our horses.
We're really bad at humanizing horses, aren't we?
Okay, I just said that in the clever way. That's what anthropomorphizing means.
Oh, whatever.
I think so.
She's so intelligent. She's so intelligent.
My degree in zoology, you see. Jenny, are you... Oh, Pippa Cliff. Jenny, are you planning on staying in Canada, brackets horseless, with a sob emoji? Thank you,
no,
darling.
No, she's not. She's coming back really soon.
And then she said, great pod, clap, clap, clap. A lovely lady called Sabrina Glacier. I think I would say Glacier, but I don't know if she says Glacier because she's Canadian, who is a Canadian event rider. Let me go ride her pony on my birthday. which was excellent fun through like this amazing valley. And she just sent me a message actually last night saying, when am I coming riding again? So, which is very exciting. No idea how long we're staying in Canada. TBC, enjoying it a lot. So
I was going to say, you're having a really great time out there though, aren't you? And you've made lots of new friends and you're really enjoying the hiking.
I love my hiking. I love it. I honestly, it's so weird. If you ask me to go running, I'll last 2 minutes, but yet ask me to hike something vertical where I'm sweating my tits off. And I just love
going.
It. I do. Southeast Show Jumper, please can Simon do a winter camp at Hickstead and Jenny be there for moral support?
Yes.
Can I just say though, I sometimes have things to do. It's not just following Ben and Simon around and supporting them in whatever they do. I am also a qualified instructor in my own right.
So we could do it together.
Winter camp at Hickstead. What, we get people down? Do you think that's what they mean?
What, get people down to Hickstead?
To do a winter camp. They do have stabling and everything. That could be quite fun.
And they've got the all weather and the cross country course on the all weather and the water jump and all that kind of stuff. So
I do know the team at Hickstead pretty well.
I have talked about doing that before, so it's definitely a possibility. I've just organised to do a couple of clinics in Ireland actually again, which is great. Looking forward to that.
I used to date one of the Bunn family, so I'm pretty sure I could ask one of them.
Yeah,
it was a while ago now. This is an excellent question. FD wants to know what's in your hip flask when out hunting.
I'm a port man.
Oh, I do like a bit of slow gin.
Oh yeah, slow gin's good, but yeah, no, port for me.
I also
love a cheeky Vimto.
Oh, you have to say what a cheeky Vimto is now, because not a lot of people
cheeky
know
Vimto
that.
Cheeky Vimto is it's not something you put in your hip flask really, but it's Blue Wicked and port.
Blue Wicked and WKD port. And port.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going to leave that there.
It's really, really good. It's
like, yeah, but you're also
really
showing your age. Who drinks can you even get Blue WKD anymore?
I've got no idea. I haven't even tried, but I'm sure you must be able to.
We're the era of Alco Pops. I don't think they even do it. At university, it was an open reef as an empty reef, because you could neck a reef.
I think you need to, rather than taking the piss, I think you need to Google that.
All right. I'm going to leave that there. Okay, we've had two people ask this, actually. So I'm going to ask this one. Once in a Boo Moon and Connie Pete. So well done, you two. And actually, someone else has written in a different way. What's your biggest pet peeve in the equestrian world? Or horsey ick? I like that.
Oh, God, pet peeve.
Probably people letting the horse gallop off and getting kicked in the head.
Well, yeah. It annoys me when people blame their horses for their own mistakes.
It's really heavy on the right rein. Well, is it? It can't be heavy on the right rein if you're the one holding the right rein.
Or are you making it like that? Or do something about it. Yeah. Or like when the horse stops and they say, oh, you know, it's being so naughty. And I'm like, well, you can, like, not letting it go. Yeah.
Yeah, their gaps in their training is the horse's fault. Yes, I would go with that. There must be something else I don't like. A lot of stuff annoys me.
I'm not very good with long riding boots that are too short.
What, they don't quite come up to the right length?
Yeah. That's very knickety and picky of me, but yeah, they have to be the right length. Too short is a definite no.
Yeah.
Oh, you look like you're wearing wellies.
Do you know one of my pet peeves? And I know this is a funnel William and Pippa pet peeve.
Yeah,
being on your fucking phone around horses.
Well,
drives me mad.
I'm on my phone all the time. It's terrible.
Yeah, but I just think it's so dangerous. I've had so many people just get hurt stupidly because they've been looking down at their phone whilst leading horses. I also think horses deserve, in fact, respect.
Yes.
So I just think if you're on your phone leading horses around, you're not giving them the respect they deserve. And I just think, yeah, it's such a dangerous hobby. Get off your phone.
Yeah.
You are not allowed on your phone on a horse when you're on Pippa Funnel's yard.
And yeah, I think right.
not a done thing.
She know like yeah, she would hate me.
Yeah, I hate it.
Smoking on horses. I don't like that.
I've never done that.
I just think it's really naff.
Okay, but I have done it when I've been out hunting. I think mainly because I thought I looked really cool.
It's still naff.
Do you know what, though? When I was out hunting in Ireland, someone was smoking. And you know how, like, the end, the hot bit can fall off? And this guy was an utter tool anyway. And it fell off and got caught between the horse and the numbner.
Oh, no.
Horse went absolutely apocalyptic. And this guy got thrown into a bush. I mean, it can't have hurt the horse very much. It didn't even, like, break the skin. But it was just one of the, like, this guy, he was so full of his own self-importance. And this horse absolutely ended him bucking to get him off because he'd been hot-rocked under the saddle. So, yes, don't smoke on horses, people. That's what can happen.
Yeah, poor pony.
I know, poor pony. It was terrible. But
there's a really, really nice lady that she very sadly died. But she, what's her name? She did Burley, proper amateur doctor, and I always remember watching her at Burley in like the mid 90s, and the camera was on her, and she was just walking up to the start box. They were counting her down from 10. They're like 5, 4, on the 5. She was still like chuffing away on this, and they said go, and she like threw her cigarette at the back and then went. That was hilarious. It was so funny. Absolutely brilliant.
I love that. I wish that was on video.
I need to find that. It must be in existence somewhere.
That is brilliant. Okay, last question, because we've been going for an hour. AMC Equestrian Z wants to know, what made you want to start this podcast?
Because we like Cheng.
I know.
And because I think there's lots of topics that we can cover and try and make a difference, really, and try and...
I agree, yeah. I think, yes, we're funny. Well, we are funny. But I think, honestly, want to get this big enough that we, the powers that be, might sit up and take notice of some of our opinions, especially with Ben's so eloquently putting his opinions.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are rubbish in comparison to Ben at, like, putting stuff across in a really good way. He's very, very good with his words, isn't he?
Yes. And giving riders a space to actually say what they think and talk freely. That is why.
Yeah.
But essentially, I just think there was a little gap and we wanted to fill it with our size. Simon's told me he's got a massive dick, so size 12s. He's looking very happy with himself right now. Right. Is there anything else you want to tell me? How have we just chatted just between us for an hour? This is brilliant.
I know. And we actually could carry on, but we don't want to bore everybody.
No. And I did have some messages. Thank you for all your suggestions of topics. We're going to wait for Ben to come in. But someone sent me a video of they went to try a horse and a giant human was riding this very small horse. And so she wanted us to talk about people trying to sell horses and too big. And a lot of people have asked questions about how advice when buying horses. And I actually think that's quite a good one. But I'd quite like Ben's opinion on that as well. So I think we're going to save that topic for next time.
But and we've got some really, really exciting people lined up to come on the pod and chat to us. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay. Yeah. We're targeting some people. You did have someone today, but I then didn't make it. And I was like, thank God, they're boring as fuck.
Targeting someone.
Wow. That was a sexy voice. What's your sexiest voice?
I don't have a sexy voice.
Oh, also, before we go,
I sound like that instead. Are you going to accents, Jenny?
You've just heard my Irish accent, so I think by judging by that, it's pretty terrible.
That's me doing the others. Oh, you can't do American because you tried to do that earlier and it didn't really work, did it?
No, no. Can you?
Yeah. We'll do that another time.
Okay, I'm going to play this video and hope it works. But this, I put a post out on Instagram and it's had more likes than anything we've ever posted and like laughing emojis.
Hi. I'd just like to say a few words about the Shut Up and Ride podcast, which I've become very, very keen on recently. I've listened to every single one, and they're very good, very informative, very funny, very up-to-date, and I keenly enjoy them. But I've got one small complaint. The three people that do them, the two guys and my daughter, they do it very well, they do a very good job, but my daughter, Jenny, just won't stop swearing. So, Jenny, I've just got a message for you. This is your mummy speaking. Stop fucking swearing.
My mother.
She's a good girl, isn't she?
You have no idea how many people responded to that video. It went nuts. And famous people. Matt Frost was one of them. Loads of people commenting. It's now gone to her head a bit, Simon. She wants to become a feature.
Yeah, well, we should get her on.
I know, right? And she's
get her on for a second Gen Pod 2.
Well, careful, she might start attacking you next. She's enlightened herself to, have you seen the Jack Whitehall show where he goes travelling with his father?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a feature.
You travel around to different shows and interview different people and have your mum in the background. Great. No? Jane doesn't look impressed by that idea. I think maybe you won't do that.
No, I love you, mummy. I don't call her mummy, by the way. We're not that like that. She sounds really posh in it as well. She's like she's putting on her airs and graces. All right, mother. Anyway, yes, that was my mother. Thank you very much. And yeah, she does tell me off for swearing, but she raised me. Well done. You did an excellent job.
She did a very good job.
Right. So thank you very much again, Charles Owen, for sponsoring this. Right. All that's left to say is, good luck at Bicton. When are you riding?
Thank you very much. Jumping tomorrow.
Which horse?
Shadow Me and Cross Country tomorrow. Oh. Miracle. Miraculous.
I'm sorry, but yours is called Miracle. Is that like, it'll be a miracle if it goes clear with Simon? Or
there's a big part of it is that, but it's also because it's a miracle that he actually is alive, because his mother was very ill when she had him. And they both survived. And it was a miracle that they both survived. So.
See, if I get a horse, I want to call it Hindsight so everyone can learn to appreciate it.
Cool, what?
Hindsight.
Oh, yeah. That is good.
Thanks.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think I said to you before, I'd like to have a stallion called No Idea.
You've never told me that.
I'd like to have one called No Idea so that when someone says, what's your horse by? They say, No Idea.
That's very good.
They go, no, what's it by? No Idea.
Simon's on Miracle. On a Miracle by No Idea.
By No Idea.
That's like, what would you call a racehorse? Your mum. Come on, your mum!
Jenny, that's very inappropriate. Which is very appropriate.
Yes. Right. I think we should stop now before we get cancelled. Thank you, everyone who's been listening and sending us messages. Keep sharing the pod. Keep sharing it. Like, follow. I'm not entirely sure what I should be saying right now. We are going to start a YouTube channel. Let us know if that is what people want. If that is what you want, that is what will happen. And also, Ben Atkinson's hat competition. Please enter it. Please. You lot are funny. We get some very funny comments and some very funny videos. I really want to see Ben in something funny. There is templates which we can send, Instagram us. But essentially, all you've got to draw is the shape of a hat. It's not that hard. And yeah, send it to Charles Owen. If you go on their Instagram page, there's all the details. But if you want to know any details, then send us a message. I have to start up an email, won't I? Then people can email us stuff who aren't on Instagram.
Yeah, and thank you so much, guys, for the questions today, because there were some really, really good questions in there, I think.
I know. I like the fact that our audience has a sense of humour. Well done, team. Well done.
They totally do.
Right, I've got to take my kids to school. It is time to go and wake them up. They've stayed asleep the whole time. It's amazing. You have to go and schmooze. What are you doing?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Q&A later for the 3-day event.
Oh, are you hosting it or on it?
It's for the, there's a 90 and 100 3-day event here, and it's just if anyone's got any questions they want to ask or any advice they want for getting through cross country day and the show jumping as well.
How to avoid ending up in someone else's dressage test by Simon Grieve.
Exactly. Or falling off the same water jump twice.
Or how to not dye your pony pink. Right, on that note, exactly. Simon Grieve, good luck at Bicton, and go Shut Up and Ride.